To begin with a sense of Hakaras HaTov to all the Talmidim, the Baruch Hashem who are with us. You're the ones that make the retreat as special as it is. Bezras Hashem, the learning seder before, and now in the Kumsitz. You know, these are things that can really be more Racham Eshamayim. I encourage you to take advantage of the time to sit and to learn Bahasmada. The best way you can show any Hakaras HaTov to your Rebbeim, who, as the Menahu mentioned, were Moser Nefesh to be here, is by sitting and learning with them, embracing them, and allowing this time that we have together to really elevate our Avodah Hashem. The Rambam writes, Pirush Mishnayos, the very end of Maseches Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes this in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, that Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was different than any other Navi. And it wasn't just simply a difference in degree, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed Nevuah more often to Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to other Nevi'im, but rather it was a difference in kind, a different type of Nevuah entirely. And therefore that's part of our Ikar Yamuna, to recognize the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe. I'll tell you, the Rambam writes this at great length, but I would suggest what I think is an incredible deal in Targum. As you know, I often encourage the Talmidim, now are the years, go through Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum without shortcuts. Do Targum very, very, very well. You know, I find, maybe it's just from my perspective, that Reb Chaim is the Sugis Hashas, like Targum Unkelus Liz to the Psukei HaTorah. Because when you look at the various terms that Targum will use, it's something which is striking. Hagdarosh, just simply based on the choice of words. That uniqueness of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll tell you the following. The most common pasuk in Chumash, Vayedaber Hashem O Moshe Limon. And with the help of technology, 175 times in Chumash. Okay? How does Targum translate that pasuk? 175 times. Umalol Hashem im Moshe. Hashem spoke with Moshe. Twice in Chumash, for this you don't need technology. No, the Torah tells us, Vayedaber Hashem al Aron Lemor, al Aron Lemor. In Shmini, and Vayikra Yud, and Bemidbar Chav Zayin, there Targum writes the following, right? Umalal Hashem le'aron, le'aron. Hashem spoke to Aaron, and Hashem spoke with Moshe. A difference in im and le, im and le. 11 times in Chumash, 11 times in Chumash. Take a look in Shmos Vav Yud Gimel, and Vayikra Yud Aleph Aleph. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron Lemor, the real Girs and Targum in all 11 places. Umol Hashem im Moshe ula Aaron. It's something which is done. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pe'el pe'el darabah. As opposed to Shar Nevi'im, that wasn't the case. That was a Mara, that was a vision, that was a Chizayim. But the Rambam waxes so poetically in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Targum already gives us that hint, a difference between im and le. And I'll tell you something that I found to be difficult at first, but I think there's a clear answer. Beyond Sefer Bereishis, you only find im in Targum with Moshe Rabbeinu, with one exception. And that is B'midbar Perek Chav Beis, Psukim Ches Yutes Lamed Aleph, when it comes to Bilam HaRasha. There, all three times, Targum writes, Imi, Imach. The term that Targum always reserves for Moshe Rabbeinu, here Targum uses to describe Bilam HaRasha. And that's something which is stunning. Moshe Rabbeinu, uniquely true, and when it comes to Bilam, the same terminology is used. You know, maybe it's not so surprising in the following sense, because Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, he was our Navi. Lo kom bi Yisrael. Ava bu umo sa'olam kom. The umo sa'olam also had a Navi. And the Nevuah Bilam was incorporated as part of Cheftza shel Torah, which means it wasn't just a vision, but rather it was really literally every syllable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to. So imagine, you have the status of Shar Nevi'im, and then you have Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam HaRasha that were zolche to that im. How exactly is that possible? How do you understand that? So there is an incredible comment Rosh Hashanah has in Avi Ezri, Perek Zayin of Yisodei HaTorah. He quotes this, the name of the Maral Diskin, and Rosh Hashanah writes the following, Ve'ein li lahosif al dvar mitim ha'idu. I have nothing to add, nothing to add to this Chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. That was the unusual relationship that Kadosh Baruch had with Moshe Rabbeinu. What about when it came to Shar Nevi'im? It's true. It wasn't dictated every syllable, but it was incredible bechina of the Ruach HaKodesh that the Navi had a vision, and the Navi would go ahead and yes, that he would maximize and he would publicize that vision. But you know what? V'ratza b'divrayim et neimon b'emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusted the Nevi'im to be the Shluchei Derachmana. Kadosh Baruch Hu had confidence in the Navi to be able to accurately disseminate the message of the Nevuah. The Umos Olam had a Navi, Bilam HaRasha. Imagine a person is delivering any type of presentation and you have a Meturgaman. If the Meturgaman is a loyal Talmud, you'll trust the Meturgaman to go ahead and to paraphrase what you're saying. Let's say, for example, Maror Diskin writes, you have a Meturgaman that cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted. What would you do? You know what you'll do? You'll script every syllable and you'll tell him, don't you dare go off script. That, Maror Diskin writes, was the difference in Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam HaRasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shalokim. Moshe Rabbeinu Shechina Medaberes Mito Grono. Shar Nevi'im were the trusted Shluchei Derachmana. However, when it comes to Bilam HaRasha, he was not trusted at all to go off script, to on his own convey the Dvar Hashem. And therefore, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam HaRasha, they were zochet to that high level of Vua, but for very opposite reasons. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shalokim, and Bilam HaRasha was not trusted. And therefore, when you have someone who you don't trust, you have no choice but to script every syllable and say, don't you dare deviate from exactly that which I am telling you. That's what Rosh Hashanah calls Nimrah Diskin. He writes, I have nothing to add except for this important addition. And he writes the following. That was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come to any one of us and tell us, Kachma es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchak, you would say no. You would say no. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to you b'chod v'atzma and tells you this is what you have to do. You really are going to question? You really are going to say that not me, not me? When Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you directly? Why was that considered to be such an nisayon to fulfill the Dvar Hashem? And that for Shach writes in Aviezer, but take a look, for Zayin of Yisori HaTorah. Because it was not Shechina medaberes mitol groma. This was a vision. This was a vision. And a vision is subject to interpretation. To use the words of the Gemara in Yevamos, no, is asmak lariya she'eno me'ira. It wasn't crystal clear. What happens when a Kadosh Baruch Hu tasks you with a certain mission, and you know what? It is not absolutely obvious. And you have to make certain decisions. And every step is not scripted. How exactly do you respond? How do you respond when you're asked to sacrifice your single son? That was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. He knew that the real nevuah was Akedas Yitzhak. But he also knew that, you know what, it was clouded, it was foggy, it was an aspaklar yeshen amira. He knew that it was a vision subject to interpretation. How do you interpret when somehow it positions you against that which you always, always stood for? And that Rosh Hashanah writes, that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. Even without Shechina medaberes mitol grono, even without such a direct tzivui, not surprising, without it, but somehow being able to so exquisitely understand the Ratzon Hashem, Ramban writes in Breishis Chafav, a part of a nevuah. But based on that nevuah, Avodas Hashem, even if somehow it was vague in a certain sense, but if I see what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking me to do, no excuses, and no reinterpretations, and no somehow trying to get by with the minimum possible. But you know, Avraham Avinu taught us that legacy of embracing the Dvar Hashem, not only the Tzivu, which is Mefurash, but that term of the Chazon Ish and Ebenezer, Kufchav Gimel, explaining our sugya of Abishol, Kavana, and Mitzvos. And that is the Ratzon HaTorah. the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll tell you, there's something else amazing about Avraham Avinu. Rashi writes, at the end of the Akedah, that you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu was perplexed. On the one hand, Avraham Avinu was told, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar l'chozah. Yitzchak is the Zera Avraham. And if we haven't seen it yet, Be'ezras Hashem soon, the Tosus, Yivamos Chapez and Mebez, Tosus writes two differences, Daraisa, between the word Zera as opposed to Ben. Zera as opposed to Ben. Tosus is bothered, right? The sugya that we're learning now, Yivamos Uben Einla. And the sugya we learned not so long ago, in Kedushin Daf Dalet, when it comes to Achilas Shuma, Zera Einla. I can tell you that I was moved to tears to listen to Rabbi Soloveitchik figure out when COVID was. Which Masechtos did we learn? Because COVID was during Shabbos. You have to realize that's part of a sheaf of godless. Your whole perspective is what you learned, the Masechtos. So, which is special. So Tosus writes, two differences daraisa between Zera as opposed to Ben. Ben means one generation. Zera is something which is enduring. Tosus writes, Zera is Zera Kasha. And Ben is even Ben Pasul. Zera means something which is everlasting, something which is enduring. And Avraham Avinu was told, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar l'chozah. That means enduring. It'll span the generations. That's clear. That's the meaning of the word Zera. And all of a sudden, as Rashi quotes, Kachnas binchas yechirchas rahavta, Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak. And then all of a sudden, step three, Al Tishlach, don't. Rashi says Avraham Avinu was perplexed. Step one, step two, step three. You know, Astira Gluya, Zera and Akeda, Al Tishlach. How do you make sense of the Tzivui Hashem? You know what's troubling? You know, okay, I'll admit, you know, when I give a shir klali, you know, I try to quote a lot of marmakomos, you know, and to create like one kasha, two kashas, three kashas, and all of a sudden, you know, things can kind of resolve. But that's my, you know, when you learn Reb Chaim, when do you find in Reb Chaim like three kashas, a triple stira? No, like, you know, Reb Chaim will simply begin, you know, you have a Rambam here, a Rambam there, a Gemara here, a Gemara there, a Rambam here, a Gemara there. Now, how do you resolve a single stira? Let me ask you a very simple question. Avraham Avinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki v'Yitzchak yikar l'chozah. And Avraham Avinu is told, Kach na'aseh b'nechah sichicha. That's not a stira. Everything is fine and good. No kashas. The only time you have a kasha is step three, Al Tishlach. That's the kasha, Al Tishlach. Up until then, I'm absolutely fine. And all of a sudden now, step three, Al Tishlach. Ooh, how do I process everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? Why wasn't Avraham Avinu troubled at the earlier step? Zera, Atosus, Nivamas, Chavei is enduring, and all of a sudden, Kachnas ben Chesichilcha. Why isn't that a stira gluya? I'll tell you a Chiddush, Drasha Saran, Drasha Vav, where the Ran writes that Akedas Yitzchak was not a tzivui. Akedas Yitzchak was a bakasha. Kachna, Eina, Elashim bakasha. This was not a tzivui, this was a request. Imagine, a request. Akedas Yitzchak. And Avraham Avinu doesn't flinch. But all of a sudden now, it's Tzivui Val Tishlach, that created a stira. That's what the Ran writes. That's what Yosef Alba writes in Perek Shlishi. The Sefer Ikarim. Reb Chaim gave the following terrors. It's not only important to know what to ask, but in life you also have to know when to ask. What is the appropriate time to ask a kasha? What is the itui, the precise moment to ask a kasha? And I'll tell you the answer is as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do, that's not the time to ask. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to walk, you march. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to jump, the question is how high. Don't you dare question the Tzivui Hashem. Questioning is illegitimate. When you've done everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do, when there's no more that has to be done, you know what? That's an appropriate time to take a step back and say, what do I learn? How do I process? How do I understand? Kadosh Baruch Hu kiv yisek kor chazara. And that was a stira gluya to Akedas Yitzchak. But Avraham Avinu was told, not as the Ram writes as a bakasha, the Rambam is a tzivui. He was told, kachnas binches yichidcha. As much as it could trouble Avram Avinu. Brachos tafiyot ma demifka da sibar lach lameva. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you do. Don't worry about how everything is going to land. That's kavshei derachmana. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you do. All of a sudden, step three, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, al tishlach. You've done everything I asked you to do. There is no more that is being demanded of you. You know what? That's the appropriate time to take pause, take a step back, to ask a kasha. How do I understand this? How do I incorporate all of this into my avodah session? You know, so this is part of the life, the legacy of Avraham Avinu. Sometimes in life we're going to be in situations where there isn't a tzivui mafurash. After all, perhaps the answer is not going to be so crystal clear in my mind. That's the time of course, aseh l'charav, cling to your rebbeim, to get a good sense of counsel and etzah, how it is that I navigate difficulties in life. Not only when things are absolutely crystal clear, but especially when things are somewhat gray and somewhat vague, and have confidence. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me that this is what I have to do, you know what? That's not the time in learning or life to ask questions. That's the time of Madamifkada Sibalach Lameva. And when you do it, and you see all of a sudden incredible Siyata Dishmaya, you know, then you'll be zochet to understand that how it is that, yes, that seemingly I can experience, right, different episodes in my life, and everything holistically comes together. Because, you know, I'm part of what Tosu says, that Zer Avram, something which is absolutely enduring. And that, Baruch Hashem, is the mission of each and every one of us. This is the mission of the yeshiva, to be able to realize that, yes, that our Avodas Hashem begins with the Taryag Mitzvah Sar Moshe Misinai. And sometimes in life you can experience, you know, certain things that are not an absolute tzivui. And maybe certain things that seem to be somewhat vague, but I know that it's the Ratzon HaTorah that is going to determine exactly how I respond. And even if somehow I know that the Torah is asking me to do this, and it seems to be almost beyond my reach, because we live in a certain society, we live in a culture, and you get simply blown away by the tides and the winds of contemporary society. But nonetheless, you know, Ma demifkada sibalach lamevad, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tools, gave us the capacity to be able to mekadesh shem shamayim in everything we do. It's true of the current initiative in terms of technology, but it's true in all aspects of avodas Hashem. We don't shy away from challenges, but we use all of those challenges. What for others could be a stumbling block is a stepping stone for us to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being part of the Zer Avram. It's part of the hope of our getting together, you know, outside of the yeshiva, to be able to really celebrate together who we are, to be able simply as, you know, part of the hanhal of the yeshiva to show the Talmid that, you know, we really care. We want you to thrive. We want you to be able to have experiences that, you know, will uplift you in every aspect. And there is no expense that we want to go ahead and willingly and joyfully undertake in order to see it that it's meaningful and it's exciting, and that, you know what, you return to the Beis Medrash with a sense of passion, with a sense of enthusiasm. You know, the thank you to any of us, you know, is not just merely, you know, which we all appreciate, to be able to come over and to thank us for this, to thank Rav Ariel for working out every detail, thanking the Rebbeim for their coming, their participating. The true measure of thanks is what happens when we return to the yeshiva already on Wednesday and Thursday and then throughout the Zman. It's a difficult time. It's a time of midterms that I recognize, and the pressures indeed do mount. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to balance, hard to juggle. But you know what? You'll get good hadracha, good etza, how I can do everything well, how I can be disciplined enough to be able to see to it that the Torah Hashem is something that informs every aspect of my life. But you know what? We're capable. We're told. We're Zera. We have the legacy of Avram Avinu, a legacy to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avram Ohavi, a legacy to recognize if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me to do something, by essence, by definition, that is exquisitely appropriate for me. and we embrace Emuna Bitachon, all of a sudden we emerge and we're able to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in incredibly passionate and transformative ways. I appreciate all of you joining us for the retreat. Bezras Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give the yeshiva as a whole, each one of you individually, continued siyata dishmaya, mahagdol toru lahadim.
Please see your rabbeim for those plans for this stage. Good motivation.